Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth. That I might have been given a bad break, but I've got an awful lot to live for. Thank you.
Even after all these years, that makes you misty. 2 years after that famous speech in Yankee Stadium, baseball legend Lou Gehrig died from a disease that now bears his name. Or did he? In 1939, Gehrig was diagnosed with amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS. He went downhill quickly, losing muscle strength and control, died in 1941. ALS, of course, became known as Lou Gehrig's disease, but new research is showing that Gehrig may never have had it. A new study in the Journal of Neuropathology suggests repetitive concussions, which Gehrig suffered, can erode the central nervous system in a similar manner. Joining us now is Alan Schwartz. He's the reporter who broke the story for our partner, the New York Times, and also Dr. Robert Stern, who is co-director of the Center for the Study of Traumatic Encephalopathy at Boston University, one of the investigators in the study. Dr. Stern, let's begin with you. Good morning to you. It's interesting findings, to say the least. Big surprise?
Well, yeah, in a way. I mean, it shouldn't be too big of a surprise that hitting your head over and over again in a variety of situations can lead to some bad things down the road. We don't know whether Lou Gehrig had Lou Gehrig's disease or not. That's, for us, that's not as big an issue as the finding that repetitive brain trauma can lead to an ALS-like disease.
And just to be clear, we're not saying if your head gets receives trauma repeatedly, you develop ALS. It's just the symptoms mimic ALS, correct?
Well, it's another disease just like ALS. It's more of kind of a fine line between the different types of diseases that are all called motor neuron diseases. And we're also not saying that if you hit your head over and over again, you're going to get this ALS-like disease. It means that it is a potential risk factor to develop it later in life.
So how will this change the way doctors treat people who develop these symptoms?
Well, for now, it's not going to change anything, because the only way you can distinguish amongst the different ALS-like diseases is upon autopsy after people die. And that's what our findings were based on, was autopsy material, looking at brains and spinal cords. So for now, it's not going to change the way people are treated. But in the future, it might hold some promise by understanding the root causes of the different diseases.
Alan Schwartz, let's bring you into the conversation here. Of course, back in Lou Gehrig's day, the batters didn't have those helmets on that covered over a good chunk of your head and your ear. And I know he was hit at least once, and it knocked him out. Obviously, he suffered concussions over the years. What about today? Is it less of a risk, at least in baseball?
Well, it's hard to know. One of the things that Dr. Stern has taught me over the years is that we don't know whether it's poorly treated concussions that make these bad things develop, or just concussions in general, and brain, and possibly even subconcussive blows in general. It's very nice to think that if you recover from your injuries before you receive another, we know that that helps you avoid post-concussion syndrome. But they really don't know if it helps you avoid the cognitive and dementia-like symptoms that develop in some football players and other collision sport athletes later in life, and diseases like this, which are not cognitive, but more, you know, talk about your ability to move your limbs. This is a very rare disorder, and we don't know really what leads to it other than hitting your head. What you do after you hit your head is up for grabs.
Of course, Alan, Lou Gehrig, legendary for playing through his injuries. I think in excess of 2,100 games played consecutively during his career. That's an amazing record. And that won't be repeated. Give me a sense of whether there is more sensitivity to these injuries and the danger they pose.
Well, two things. One, there is a far more sensitivity to these injuries, not only by the team medical staffs, but by the players themselves. The players, of course, with guaranteed contracts and whatnot, are much more secure in looking after their own bodies than they had been in the past. They still play hurt, but they don't have to play hurt in the same way. One thing to note, though, is that the human nature to want to play all those games in a row, to be Mr. Lunchbox, to be a role model in a certain way, although in Garrick's case, perhaps playing through concussions was not a role model move at all, it actually, this record has been broken. Cal Ripken broke the record in 1995, and because I think the human nature of trying to do these things doesn't really change over the years.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot. I should have paid proper respects to
Cal,
the
Ironman.
I forgot about that. Yeah, it must have been a head injury I had or something. Mm-hmm. You know, what's interesting is today you've got better equipment on the one hand, but you also have faster, bigger players. I'm thinking mostly about football here. Which is ahead right now, the technology, or are the players bigger and faster, and are the impacts greater?
There's no way to truly know. I think it's plausible to think that the impacts are greater, but the point is that we don't know if it's high-level impacts that are causing this damage. It could be that the advances in helmet technology, which do a fantastic job of protecting the skull against fracture, which is the only thing they're designed to do, by the way, it's possible that doing such a good job for high-level impacts has allowed so many low-level impacts to get through and rattle the skull, rattle the brain, that it's backfired in a sense. Not in all senses, but in this one. We have no idea.
Dr. Stern, we're going to finish it with you. Will we ever know for sure if Lou Gehrig suffered from ALS or not?
That's the big question. There's only one difficulty, and that is that Lou Gehrig's body was cremated.
And So if you could find the remains, is there any genetic marker? Is there any way to do that? Do we have that technology and capability?
Yeah, it's not the genetic markers at this point that we know of for this new disease. It's really looking at the brain tissue. Down the road, we're probably going to find some other markers like genes and other vulnerability risk factors, but right now we can only do it by looking at the brains.
All right, I guess that's a mystery that will remain so. Gentlemen, thank you. Dr. Robert Stern and Alan Schwartz.